Welcome to Deeper Walks on the Trail podcast. You are on the trail with father-daughter duo Marcus and Stephanie Warner. I'm Stephanie, and I'll be talking with my father, Dr. Marcus Warner, as we discuss topics that help you stay on the trail to a deeper walk with God. Episode 39. Today we are looking at some spiritual warfare basics. Hello, Father.
Hello, daughter. It is always, it's kind of fun, isn't it? We were recently at an event where people were calling you daughter. It was so great.
That was a good event. Oh, man. Yes. I hadn't realized quite how many catchphrases we had in our podcast until going to that event. But yes, my father. I call you by many names, but Father has stuck for this, and I like it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm gonna steal back the icebreakers today. So here we go. Would you rather go on a walk or a bike ride?
Most of the time, a walk. Yeah, most of the time, a walk. 30 years ago, a bike ride. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm 31 at this point, but I would say 20 years ago, a bike ride. And
yeah.
Now a walk, yes. I do love a good walk. So, hey, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare today. And we have a spiritual warfare conference coming up March 31st and April 1st, What Every Family Should Know About Spiritual Warfare. Now, as I understand it, Dad, this is a conference that will benefit people even if they are not in a family situation, but it is specifically for families. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is good information people should know, and some of it will help you understand the family you grew up in, as well as like family that you might have right now. And, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, spiritual warfare praying. So, you know, Judy Dunnigan, who's the author of The Loudest Roar, is going to have a session on spiritual warfare prayer for the family. That is going to be like bonus content for everybody who signs up. They're going to get that video. We've got Junie Felix, who is a radio personality with Moody Radio in Chicago and is Deeper Walk. You know, she's on the speaker team. She's been connected to our ministry for a while. She's going to be
also an author in her own right.
An author in her own right. She's got many. It would take a half the podcast to list her credentials.
For all of these people, but yes, yes. So Junie is going to be emceeing for us. That'll be great.
Dean Vandermeer, who is the executive director of Set Free Ministry, is actually heading out to India today to go do 2 weeks of ministry over there. Where he's been going for 20 years, a lot of really great fruit coming out of that. At his ministry Set Free, they've dealt with a lot of teenage issues. And so he's really going to be speaking into and sharing a lot of stories of, you know, how do you deal with teenage rebellion and that sort of thing, and prodigals in general. So I'm really glad he's joining us. And then Carl Payne, who was with us last year when Neil Anderson and Carl and I did a warfare kind of introduction. He's got a ton of experience. He's going to be sharing specifically on this issue of generational iniquity. So I know people, so that's a helpful topic just in its own right. And then specifically, how do you deal with it? What do we do?
And then you actually have some sessions as well.
I'm going to start with just what the basics that every family, there's a lot of us parents who run into situations, and because we don't have a warfare worldview, we don't know what we're dealing with. So we're talking about what does every parent need to know? Just the basics, how to cleanse the home, how to pray a hedge of protection, how do you have a conversation with your kids? We're going to cover a lot of things like that. And then we're also going to be talking about how to guide our kids through this occult saturated society we find ourselves in. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of good material.
Awesome. Well, you guys can find more information about the conference at our website. And right now it's just like right on the homepage. You can't miss it. And I'll also just say that if you have a small group or a church who wants to attend the conference, we also have pricing available for groups. So you can come check out the website for more details. And if you are listening to this after the event, you can still get the recordings. So
if you miss the conference, it'll be recorded and you can get it after the fact.
Indeed. Yep. All right. Awesome. So on to spiritual warfare. Father, Jesus talks about the devil plainly many places. Thinking about John 8:44 is coming to mind. What does it mean to be a child of the devil? What is he talking about?
Yeah, there's a couple times when Jesus refers to people. He says, "You're not children of my Father in heaven. You're children of the devil." I'm like, "Wow, that's pretty, you know, provocative statement."
And oh, here we go. Let me go ahead and read it, so everybody has it in mind here. I just pulled it up in the NASB. "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies."
So let's first of all identify the audience in a text like that. He's not saying all of humanity, you're all children of the devil, right? Mm-hmm. He's talking specifically to the Pharisees and the religious leaders who are actively having conversations about killing him, right? So the idea here is that the murder originated with the devil is what Jesus is saying here. And not only murder, but then the deception. And one of the things I often tell people about warfare is that warfare requires propaganda, right? Warfare requires a deception campaign. I often think about World War II, where they actually got the Germans to believe that Patton had a fictional army, you know, that was ready to invade. But they went to great lengths, right, to deceive the enemy. So deception is a monumental part of warfare. And so the devil is this liar and deceiver who wants to kill. Well, here are these people, and they want to kill the Son of God, right? So is that more like your father in heaven, or is that more like the devil, right? It's like, and they are lying to people. They are deceiving people away from following God's Son, the Messiah. And so he's like, hey, guys, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. And that is, you're being children of the devil. And this is not the only passage where we find this stuff. Throughout Scripture, we have this warning about falseness, right? That there, in fact, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, his last encounter with the elders of the church of Ephesus, they're in Miletus on the shores of Turkey, and he says to them, his last warning is, beware, you know, wolves are coming, right? And what's he mean by these wolves? He's not talking WLVS at this point. He says, at this point, he's like, there's going to be false, right, teachers, false prophets, false apostles, false brothers, and these false people are going to come in like wolves, and they are not going to spare the flock. And so his main charge to leaders in the church, you know, like me, was you got to protect the flock from the stuff that's going to damage them, because that's how the devil works. And he told a parable about this too, right? There are weeds that get sown in there, and these weeds are not just ideas. These weeds are people who are planted by the enemy to bring division and disruption and to keep the harvest from growing and maturing properly. So it's a big, fairly large topic in the Bible is this idea of children of the devil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, jumping right out of that is just a little bit later in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. So yay, we end with hope there. But so often people use this verse talking about Satan. And like we already mentioned with John 8, this is actually in a context where he's talking about the Pharisees. So why do we so often use it to talk about Satan?
Yeah, so when it says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, yeah, in his context there, you're right. He's talking about the Pharisees and that he's contrasting their spiritual leadership versus his spiritual leadership, right? He's saying, I'm the gate, right? The sheep pass in and out safely through me. He said, you don't even use the gate, right? You're ignoring this. You're these thieves who climb over the walls and you're raiding the sheep. You are not doing what is good for them. You're doing what's good for you at the expense of the sheep, right? So that's what he's specifically saying about the Pharisees here. You are, you know, in a sense, he says, you're devouring the sheep. You're harming the sheep, and you're doing only what is good for yourself and not what is really good for them. And in contrast to this, he's setting it up that he is the good shepherd. He is the gate. you know, he is the giver of life, you know, for the sheep. And he is actually, rather than using the sheep for his own gain, he is laying down his life for the sheep. So there's this huge contrast being set up here in John 10:10 between the thief, in this case, the Pharisees who steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus who comes to lay down his own life for the good of the sheep. Now, the connection here is that it was only a chapter and a half earlier that he called these same people, you know, you are children of your father, the devil, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing what your father wants. And this is yet another example of them doing what their father, you know, wanted, that this is, you know, demonic behavior. This is not godly behavior. And so what happens is we all recognize that in their capacity as thief in this situation, they are emulating a larger archetype, if you will, of the thief, right? The ultimate thief. And that this ultimate thief, the devil, is one whose task is primarily to steal, kill, and destroy. So we see these things in, you know, yeah. So I don't know if you got thoughts before I go further, but
I was just going to say that this is those are some like foundational things: steal, kill, and destroy. And I thought we could move into talking about some more foundational, like what does it practically look like? What are the foundational things about spiritual warfare that everyone should know?
Yeah. So we're talking about, first of all, that these things are quite literal. Stealing. He wants to steal the good things that God gives us. So in the Bible, the term blessing means that God gives us something good. That's a blessing. It's a good gift from God. So Satan wants to turn that into a curse, right, by stealing the good blessing that God has for us. So he is actively working to rob us of things that are our birthright, that are belong to us. He is also literally trying to kill people. And one of the things that you see here is that we see a lot of demonic activity and suicide. A lot of people who become suicidal and actually go through with it. But from the ones who didn't go through with it and survive, we find out a lot of them are having this barrage in their mind. It's like there's a voice inside telling them that they need to do this, that there's, and then even with a lot of these shooters who have killed a lot of people, if you press into the interviews with them, most of them that I have seen will have something in there where they talk about the voices in their head telling them to do bad things to people, you know, telling them to kill. So it's not just a metaphor, like he wants to rob the what you've got going on in your life, and he wants to kill your dreams, though that is clearly a part of it. But it's like this can be quite literal. And in Jesus' case, they were about to kill him, right? It's like this is what they're coming to do. And to steal the sheep, you know, from the true shepherd, and to kill the shepherd, you know, and this idea of destruction, you know, that what is counterfeit about Satan's work is that he promises life, but he offers destruction. Mm-hmm. So one of the pictures that has helped me to think about this is that in 1 John 2:15, where it says, "Do not love the world, nor you know the things of the world," it sometimes helps me to think of the world as like the devil's mistress, sort of like the devil's girlfriend. And that is, so the world is like this attractive, seductive, hey, I've got what you want. You know, don't you want to hang out with me a little bit thing? And John is warning us, don't fall for it, right? Don't fall for that tempting thing being thrown out there by the world saying, hey, I've got what you really want. I've got the good thing here, because it's like flirting with the devil's girlfriend. It's like flirting with the mob boss's, you know, mistress. It's like it is not going to be worth it, is kind of the idea. It's like whatever good might be there, this is going to end up really, really bad. So there is this kind of warning that goes on when he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. No matter what good thing they put out there, the good thing that is being put out there is not for your good. It is bait, exactly. And so he is hunting you. And so bait only works when it's attractive, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of how this works, is the enemy is out hunting us like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so he puts bait out there. And a lot of times the bait is to try to seduce us with things that look attractive, that promise to to give us good things, but in the end, they don't give what is good. They end up in bondage and they end up in destruction. So to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I kind of wrap that up that way.
Yeah. And so often he does that through lying.
So and that's the essence of bait and hunting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that is, you're lying to the rabbit. When you stick the carrot, you know, in mm-hmm. the trap, you're lying to the rabbit. You're saying, hey, this is good. Yeah. You want this? This will be good for you. It's the same thing he did in the garden. You see this fruit? It's good. You know, you see it's good. It's obvious. You know, let's eat that. It's that hunting element always starts with the deception. So I often tell people the deception always has a kernel of truth to it. And so I sometimes look at it as an illusionist trick, you know, where the magician or the illusionist will say, look, I just made the Statue of Liberty disappear. You're like, well, how did they do that? And the answer is that they show you certain things that are true, but they hide from you other things that are true. And so mm-hmm. the illusions only work because they get you to focus only on a few true things and you miss out on other true things. And the result is you believe a lie. So let's take, for example, somebody who hates themselves. Like, I hate myself. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I don't know why anybody would ever care about me. Let's just say that that's a fairly common attack from the enemy. Well, those people can almost always point to evidence that what they believe is true. And that is, there are people who have told them that. There's people who have rejected them. There's people who have treated them like that. They know that they have messed up. They know that they have done bad things. They have some evidence there, right? And so what the devil does to deceive us is to get us to only focus on those pieces of truth or those pieces of evidence that support the lie, and to get us to overlook and ignore other pieces of truth that would refute the lie. And this mm-hmm. is common to all propaganda. Right. So propaganda starts by saying some things that are true about somebody, but then it turns that thing into a straw man that you can attack and you can beat up. And so there's a few little things that are true about it. But by the time you get to the straw man that you're attacking, there's almost nothing true about that straw man. And that happens in warfare all the time. And it's what Satan tries to do to us. And that is, he gets us to focus on a few true things, but build a straw man out of it. In our case, it's our view of ourselves as the straw man. And we start beating ourselves up and we start hammering on ourselves. And you know, whenever you find yourself doing that, you have fallen into the devil's snare, because it is never God's will for us to beat ourselves up, right? It's never God's will for us to hate people, right? It's never God's will for us to do this. And so if we fall into that, we can recognize, okay, I have fallen into the devil's snare. And there may be some true things that I'm believing, but at some point that true thing turned into a deception. It turned into a straw man. And I am now, you know, pounding on that straw man, and something needs to change here. And it's usually I've got to undo that deceptive web.
Mm-hmm. So what are a few things that you wish that everybody would know?
Yeah, some things I wish everybody knew about this. Well, the first thing is that not every thought that comes into your head is yours, right? That's one of the first things I wish everybody knew. Because there's a lot of us who spend our lives down on ourselves, feeling like we've disappointed God, feeling like he can't possibly love us as much as people say he does, you know, believing these things, and they don't understand that those thoughts aren't originating with them. They're coming from the enemy. And that if we don't understand that these thoughts come from the enemy, then we end up beating ourselves up instead of beating up the enemy. My favorite mm-hmm. example of this, right, comes from Neil Anderson. Years ago, I heard him use this example of, like, if I have a house with a backyard and a fence around the yard, and my neighbor has a really mean, vicious dog. And so I'm always careful to keep the gate closed because I don't want the dog to come bite me. He said, but suppose one day you're careless and you leave the door open, just like we might open up a door for the devil, you know, or his demons to attack us. So in comes this dog, and he's sure enough, he jumps at us, he bites on us, he's, you know, chewing on our, you know, our leg, you know, we're in great pain. He goes, would it make any sense then to respond by hitting yourself in the head repeatedly? Like, I'm such an idiot. What a moron. I can't believe I left that gate open. I deserve this. You know, boom, boom. Does that make any sense, right? No.
Get rid of the dog.
Right. It's like, beat on the dog, if you will. Like, get this thing out of here. Make this, you know, make the attack stop. Get it out there and shut the fence. that's a pretty good picture of what a lot of happens in this battle for the mind in spiritual warfare, is that Satan gets us to beat ourselves up instead of actually attacking the real adversary. So we actually talk about it, attack the actual adversary, right, is one of the points that we often teach when it comes to spiritual warfare in the family, spiritual warfare, because a lot of us, we attack our kids and not realizing that they're, or our spouses or, you know, or some, or a sister or a brother, an aunt or an uncle, whatever, and realizing that while there may be truth that casts them in the role of enemy, our true enemy is the devil. And we need to look for, how do I attack him in this? And also, so it applies not only to the way we beat ourselves up, but oftentimes the way we look at other people.
That is a good word. We're flying through this episode. We're coming to the top. We're definitely going to continue this discussion next week, because I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. But let's, do you want to give final thoughts for the episode, or can I ask one more question?
Yeah, maybe we can combine those. I'll answer your question for my final thoughts. I don't know. We are running out of time.
I was just thinking of, like, you're talking about taking your thoughts captive. What are some other kinds of attacks that people have to deal with?
So, you know, the devil can attack us physically, right? That is, the Bible is filled with people who had physical problems that were resolved by Jesus casting out a demon, right? From someone not being able to speak, someone not being able to hear, somebody not, somebody being hunched over, right? Even a fever and other things. There are, he can attack us physically. And so it's important for us, I think, when we come under physical attack to, again, one of the things we do, just like we would look for a physical root cause, we sometimes have to look for a spiritual root cause as well and say, did a door get opened? Is there something here that needs to be renounced and gotten rid of? And I, my mind goes specifically to the stories of people who have taken like short-term mission trips, been exposed to something occult, brought it back home with them, and some new physical ailment began when they got back. And they don't put together that, hey, you know what? I need to actually, there's a spiritual root to this that needs to get dealt with. So there could be physical attacks. There's mental attacks. And sometimes it's like, did a door get opened that allowed this mental attack to begin? And so am I justifying something that I shouldn't be justifying if I miss something? So you pray and you say, God, show me, is there a spiritual root to this thing that I'm going through? Whether it's a mental torment, whether it's a physical attack, whether there's been some relational breakdown. And I'm not saying that it explains all of it or that it's the only thing that causes these things, but I think it is a component that is often missed. So asking God to show us, what's that spiritual root? And then we deal with it. And again, we confess whatever opened the door. We cancel the permission of opening the door, renounce what we did, and we command the wicked spirits to leave and commit that part of our life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. The three C's plus the committing to Christ.
Yep.
That's a Carl Payne, and I keep wanting to say acrostic. It's not an acrostic.
But I know what you mean. It's some kind of memory device. I don't know what you call that, but it's a, we call it the three C's plus one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you, okay. So as our closeout, can you just explain that those C's one more time really clearly?
Yeah. So the idea is I confess whatever gave permission to the adversary to be, you know, tormenting me in some way. It might be something I did, but it might also be something generational. It might be like when we go into a hotel room, we're like, I confess that sin may have occurred in this hotel room. But I'm confessing whatever the open door was. And if I don't know what that is, I use an if prayer. I say, God, if, you know, this door got open, you know, by my ancestors, by this, something that happened on this property, by something I unknowingly did, right? Then you go, I confess that. And Jesus, then you go to the next one. I cancel it. That means I renounce doing that. I repent of that. I forgive that person. You know, I just, whatever, you know, I can't, I want to tear up that agreement. I want to cancel the permission that was given there. And then thirdly, you say, I now command in the name of Jesus as a child of God who is, you know, you've got no more permission to be here. I command you to leave. And so those are the three C's: confess, cancel, you know, confess what gave permission, cancel the permission, and then use the authority to command the enemy to leave. And then I say, God, I now commit this over to you. Grant me your peace, grant me your protection. And you move forward in that confidence.
Excellent. Thank you, Father. And thank you all for joining us on the trail today. Deeper Walk International is a nonprofit organization, and we partner with people like you in order to do what we do. Some are on the trail with us as official trailblazers who commit to donating $25 or more per month. We invite you to consider becoming a trailblazer. You can do this very simply by visiting our website, deeperwalkinternational.org/trailblazers. If you want to keep going deeper with us on your walk with God, please subscribe to the On the Trail podcast, leave a review, and share with your friends. Thanks again. We'll see you back next week.